Good afternoon. So what did we cover this morning? So this morning we started off by saying that all sense beings are the same in ourselves as wanting to experience only happiness, wanting to be free from all problems and difficulties, no matter how slight. But despite having this wish and this sincere wish, problems and difficulties befall us one after the other. And often it seems like we are overwhelmed and swamped by unwanted problems and difficulties. So this is the situation we as individuals find ourselves in, but it's also the situation of others. When we spoke further, how one should reflect on this, coming to the point of where we understand that to be of benefit to others, one has to become a Buddha oneself, because it's only a Buddha who has the greatest capacity, the greatest skill to lead others. And in order to become a Buddha, one has to be liberated from suffering, liberated from the afflictions oneself. And no matter how much one develops minds such as bodhicitta, love and compassion, these will not alone lead one to the attainment of Buddhahood. Those minds alone will not lead to the elimination of afflictions. The minds of love and compassion need to be combined with the wisdom realizing emptiness in order to attain Buddhahood. And how to develop this wisdom that realizes emptiness? That is done through meditating on dependent arising. So therefore, we need to meditate in the way that was described this morning.
So hearing that
the cause of all our suffering is this ignorance of self-grasping, and the way to eliminate this is through meditating and coming to realize emptiness. So cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. And it's only the wisdom realizing emptiness, this mind that understands reality, that is able to completely eliminate the ignorance of self-grasping. Some may have a question about the approach that Jerome Fisher is taking here. They may say, but why are you emphasizing dependence arising so when you say that it's the wisdom realized in emptiness, the understanding of emptiness, that this is the primary understanding that we need to cultivate within ourselves. So surely, rather than concentrating on dependent arising and writing this text on dependent arising, we should be focusing on coming to understand emptiness. And we should concentrate on the Buddha's teachings on emptiness rather than dependent arising. So some may have such a doubt. Certainly, it is good to concentrate on the presentation on reality, on emptiness. But so there's no fault in doing that for sure. But Buddha Shakyamuni, for a specific reason that Buddha Shakyamuni gave, he emphasized the importance of dependent arising. The reason that Buddha gave was that through meditating well on the presentation on dependent arising, coming to understand how one thing arises independent on another, this will lead one to understand that phenomena do not exist independently. They are not inherently existent or self-existent. Why? Because understanding dependent arising well, we will see that one thing arises independent on another. That then leads us to, that then enables us to be able to understand emptiness much more easily. So in brief, the reason the Buddha gave for the importance of coming to understand and meditate on dependent arising is that it's through understanding dependent arising well that one will be able to understand emptiness much more easily, because one will understand that phenomena do not truly exist or inherently exist. Thinking about dependent arising, as we've just said, thinking about dependent arising, we will come to see that phenomena exist dependently and therefore are not independent or self-existent, and therefore are not inherently existent. So in this way, as we've just heard, through thinking about dependent arising, we will come to understand emptiness much more easily. And so, and then moreover, when we think about emptiness, we'll see that so the phenomena do not exist in the way that they appear. They are empty of inherent existence because they are dependent arisings. So whilst this may sound similar, they are actually, the sequence is alternate. So what this is showing is the harmony of dependent arising and emptiness. When one thinks about dependent arising and sees that all phenomena that phenomena exist dependently, if one is skilled, one will then realize, or come to understand that they are empty of inherent existence. They are empty of self-existence because they are dependent arisings. So to say that again, through thinking about dependent arising, we will come to understand dependent arising and emptiness. And then, conversely, thinking about emptiness, coming to understand that all phenomena are empty of true existence, are empty of self-existence, that do not exist in the way that they appear, we will then think about dependent arising. They are empty of inherent existence because they are dependent arisings. So a skilled meditator, a learned and skilled meditator, will be able to come to understand emptiness through meditating on dependent arising, and through meditating on dependent arising, will come to understand emptiness. So in this way, a skilled and knowledgeable meditator will come to see the harmony of dependent arising and emptiness. This point that's just been made, how some meditator who's knowledgeable will be able to meditate and will be able to come to understand the harmony of dependence arising and emptiness, is of great importance. Because if one only thinks about the one but not the other, or doesn't understand the other, then one can fall into one of the extreme views. So therefore it's important that when one engages in meditation and reality, that one meditates on both the emptiness of inherent existence as well as on the presentation of dependent arising. Otherwise, one may fall into one of the extremes. So how so? So if, let's say we investigate and we come to an understanding that phenomena are empty of inherent existence, they do not exist truly, and we leave it at that. We've just meditated on emptiness, and we come to the understanding of emptiness, the phenomenon we are meditating on. We see it doesn't exist in the way that it appears. It is empty of existing in that way, and we leave it at that. Just at the meditation on emptiness, there's a possibility we will think that that phenomenon doesn't exist at all. And that is then the extreme of nihilism. when we think that something doesn't exist at all that does so, then we fall into the extreme of nihilism. So in this process, we've just meditated on emptiness, but haven't thought about dependence arising. Conversely, so if we meditate on dependence arising, and we come to understand that the phenomenon that that is our object of meditation, is that dependence arising, it arises in dependence on other, then we come to an understanding that this phenomenon is a dependence arising. But if we don't think about emptiness now, the emptiness of inherent existence, we may actually end up thinking, this phenomenon really exists. This phenomenon really exists because I've come to see that, it exists in dependence on that. So therefore, it really exists. And it truly exists. It inherently exists. So one can then fall into the second of the two extremes, the extreme of eternalism. Sometimes, you have it on your sheet, sometimes called the extreme of permanence, but the extreme of eternalism. So here, we need to meditate with knowledge on these two presentations, the presentation on emptiness and the presentation on dependence arising, so as to avoid the possibility of falling into the extremes of either nihilism or eternalism. So what we see with this is that if we only meditate on the one presentation, then we risk falling into one of these extreme views. So if we only meditate on emptiness, but don't think about the presentation on dependence arising, we may fall into the extreme of nihilism. And conversely, if we only meditate on dependence arising, but we don't think about the presentation on emptiness, we risk falling into the extreme of eternalism. But if we meditate on the two, what we find is that meditating first, let's say, on emptiness, and coming to an understanding of emptiness, the realization of emptiness, this understanding or realization of emptiness will then aid our meditation as we progress to meditating on the presentation of dependence arising. So the first realization aids the second. As we realize one, we can much more easily realize the other. And same conversely, if we start by meditating on dependence arising, and we come to an understanding or realization of dependence arising, that then serves to aid our reflection on emptiness and aids our attainment of our wisdom understanding emptiness. So therefore, these two help each other. By meditating on one, we then can, one effectively, we can then much more easily realize the second. So if one wants to understand the Buddha's presentation on reality completely, one should not approach it through meditating just from one perspective, either on the presentation on emptiness or the presentation on dependence arising, but rather needs to meditate on both, meditating first on the one and then straight away on the other one afterwards.
Did you Chöpa chema meba. 상도 나와 산지 비기 취지 투민보 수두 요바나 나와 띵주 제가 채워야 말이야 나와 띵주는 내가 선 최근에 진짜 찌찌를 뛰는 주바 마도 마주는 주바 이거 말해 선비 상도 나와 한지 나베 나와 해서 가래 있는 찌찌를 뛰는 주바 마주가 제가 말해 그 제가 처음에 봤을 때 제가 솔직히 이 주바라 现在没有借用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，现在没有借呢，那也不用吧，
것은 세포 구성이니까 세포 구성은 이 텐트로 기타와 때 초월에 가리사 어디 약보 하거나 되니 심판 여기 말에 되니 되니 이 카토 되니 이 듀라 야무나 대참에 심판 로퍼제가 돼 제참 듀라 되니 잠시 좀 좀게 돼
맞아요 이제 죄가 가지고 무슨 현재 세워져요 말에 현재 뇌비지요 말에 나와 상이 취지 가서 현재 뇌비지요 현재 뇌비지 현재 주의시야 또
Sorry, Ken, I was using a term I hadn't heard since I was in Dharamsala, so, but now I remember. So sorry for that. Okay, so if someone asks us, what is the core of Buddhism, or the core of the very essence of Buddha Dharma, so we can reply in two ways or two aspects. So we'd say the core view, the core philosophy, is that of dependence arising, what we've been hearing about. And then the core behavior would be that of not harming others. So if we were wanting to, we were needing to summarize to someone what is the essence of Buddhism, we'd say the philosophy is one of dependence arising, and that the behavior would be non-harmfulness. So that is, if we really wanted to summarize Buddhism, and if we wanted then to say a little bit more, we could talk about the relationship between the two. So through developing this view of dependence arising, coming to understand how one thing depends on another, this will serve for us to stop harming others, because we'll understand the process of causality at a more profound level. And that will then ensure we engage in the behavior that is at the heart of Buddhism, non-harmfulness. So again, through developing the view of dependence arising, we will then come to understand causality well. And through understanding that well, we will engage in the core behavior of Buddhism, which is not to bring harm to others.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come to the next verse, the fourth verse. So we're seeing here that Jai Rinpoche is praising the Buddha for having taught dependence arising. That being so, O protector, who could find a more marvelous way to praise you than for teaching dependent arising? In the first line, that being so, O protector, that being so refers to then what we were looking at previously, that all problems and suffering and unwanted situations that we experience come about independent on causes and conditions. They are dependent on, suffering arises in dependence on causes and conditions. And what are those? They are firstly negative karma. And that negative karma is accumulated from the causes of the various afflicted minds, destructive emotions such as anger and attachment and pride and jealousy and so forth. And then these two come about independence on, these two arise independence on causes, in particular the root of all our suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping. And then, moreover, so still looking at the term that being so, this also then refers to not only to the recognition on the process of suffering and why we are suffering, but in terms of the antidote. And the antidote is to realize the mind that is, or develop the wisdom that is realizing emptiness. And that comes, arises in dependence on the cause of meditating on reality through dependent arising, meditating on dependent arising. So this is what is being referred to by these first three words, that being so. So. Through this process, as we've heard, we've understood suffering and how suffering can be completely, entirely eliminated. And therefore, O protector, referring to the Buddha being referred to here as the protector, who could find a more marvelous way to praise you? So that's those first two lines in Tibetan, the first two and a half in English. The Buddha, of course, is a being that has perfected himself through developing all good qualities completely and eliminating all faults completely. So therefore the Buddha has a vast array of qualities that are worthy of praise. So we can think of physical qualities or mental qualities such as love and compassion, etc. But amongst this vast array of qualities that a Buddha has, the supreme one that is being identified here as being praiseworthy is that of the quality of dependent arising. And that's what we see here in the remainder of the verse. Who could find a more marvelous way to praise you than for teaching dependent arising?
And then you move that's a marriage and Mariba Panyaki Nimbo tap down. And then Sanjay Kobatoya get up. Yes, that is going to be shed up down. Tinging it up here. Tinging it over Lambi Gilisha. Is that any Yahaji Kuran, then Yahaji Gandhi Tina, Dilly in the Yahaji toy and news. Never in Gan, Sugangi Yan, Dilly and Stupin, and Dilly in the Yahaji, they will be your marriage.
As we see here, the Buddha is praised not for the quality of his wisdom of dependent arising, but specifically for having taught it. Because through having taught how to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness through dependent arising, then the Buddha taught the method for abandoning not just suffering, but actually the very root cause of suffering. And not only how to abandon the root cause of suffering, but a vital component to take the practitioner to the exalted state of Buddhahood itself. So therefore, the text states that there is no one who could point to a greater quality that's worthy of praise than for you having taught dependent arising. Now we come to the fifth verse. Whatever depends on conditions is itself empty of inherent existence. What excellent method of instruction is more extraordinary than this teaching?
The
first line, whatever depends on conditions. So here it's being said that all phenomena are dependent. They depend on others. There's nothing that is independent. So that's a part of the meaning of the first line. when it said that all phenomena are dependent, this then refers to outer and inner phenomena. So inner phenomena, such as our minds, are also dependent. They're not self-existent. They're not independent of anything outside of themselves. They are also dependent. So, for example, our experience of sufferings and problems and difficulties, so there's these minds of suffering or unhappiness, these are dependent arisings. These inner phenomena of our minds of suffering and unhappiness, these two are dependent. Likewise, the opposite minds of those, minds of happiness, minds of peace, these two come about in dependence on causes. They too are dependent. So in brief, when it's said that all phenomena are dependent, this refers also to the inner phenomena such as happiness and suffering. They too arise in dependence on causes.
我们要把我们的念吧，念吧就注意呢，但是有所学习的，那个空落下的，对下下的，那个有梦的必须记的，那不有梦的必须记，念呢记完呢，具体的记完呢，念了的那结果，那然后来先那个如何结果，啊，如何结果，这是现在现在的。We
understand that all phenomena are dependent. We then will start to think, so from what cause, from a particular cause, what kind of result will come? So if the cause is unwholesome or negative, such as a mind attachment or anger or pride, then being an afflicted mind, being an afflicted mind, then the result that will come from this will be a result that of suffering, and result of suffering for oneself as well as for others. So there's this process that if the cause is negative or unwholesome, then the result will be of the same kind, will be a negative result, an unwanted result.
Mm-hmm.
In the converse, minds that are opposite to that will have the opposite result. So if one is as a personality that is generally kind-hearted, if one is dominated by an altruistic attitude, then one wants that those minds will being a cause will lead to a result of one oneself being happier, and moreover our interactions with others being beneficial and bring happiness to others too.
So
in the first line, we're looking at dependence arising. That phenomena, whether external outer phenomena or inner phenomena, are dependence arising, such as happiness and suffering, that depend on causes and conditions for such a result to come about. Then in the second line, it says here, it itself or that itself is empty of inherent existence. So what is the dependence arising is also empty of inherent existence. It's because it is dependent. We see in the first line, it is not self-existent, but empty of self-existence, empty of inherent existence. So the first line again looks at dependent arising. Second line looks at emptiness. These first two lines then, first being on the presentation dependent arising, the second on the presentation of emptiness. This serves to make the point that was mentioned at the start of this talk, that when we engage in meditation on this topic, we need to meditate on these two presentations sequentially. Meditate on one and then the other. So perhaps first on dependent arising and then on emptiness. Or conversely, first on emptiness, and then dependent arising. And if we do this repeatedly over a sustained period, deepening our understanding, then this will have a more and more profound impact on us. And that will in turn lead to a stronger altruistic attitude arising within. So let's then look again at how to meditate on dependent arising and do so in relation to the I or the person or the self. So we can look at this from the on the presentation of dependent arising. One should think about it in how the I or the self or the person appears in relation to oneself. So how one's own identity, one's own self-identity appears to oneself. So usually when we think of person, then the what appears to the mind spontaneously would be some kind of our body would appear in some way. And so we think of the body with all its parts together. So with these various limbs, the outer layers, the inner layers, the more subtle parts such as the energies and the veins and the blood within our body. So all of that together, accumulated together, we would then impute onto that self. Then if we were though to investigate our body to find where is this I that appears to be self-existent, where is it to be found within the body, we wouldn't find it in any individual component nor in the accumulation of the various parts. What that then shows, when we investigate for the self, we don't find it. But if we don't investigate it, it's there because it is imputed by mind.
Dinengi, jizang, da du sile nga du jeba chile nga di dhangla ya ma jeba rangi ngonyo jube tongba di tongbi tongsang di tongyi jeba chile tongyi sikula. Da di dinengi tongyi diyan, dinengi tongwa nga du tongba yi tongwa le chile. Jizang da dinengi tongsang korong gare da gare le tinggo le, da di tongba yi di tingde marwe chikki tinggo le tinggo marzen, tongba yi diyan tingde le chikki jue ni tonggo le chile.
When we investigate for the self within our body and we don't find it, and we see that it doesn't exist in the way that it appears, we then come to an understanding of emptiness. So we have there's an object, emptiness, and we have a wisdom that understands emptiness. So then, if we ask the question, so what about emptiness then? Is that also a dependence arising? So again, we've meditated on the self, looking for the self, come to an understanding of emptiness, and then we reflect, so emptiness itself, is this too, or is this also a dependence arising? So yes, emptiness is a dependence arising. So we saw here in the first line, whatever depends on conditions, etc. So emptiness is a phenomenon that is a dependence arising. So how is emptiness a dependence arising? Emptiness needs to be imputed by a valid cognizer. A mind is just a specific type of mind that is called a valid cognizer. So emptiness needs to be imputed by a valid cognizer. Therefore, emptiness is reliant on mind. If there is no mind imputing emptiness, no emptiness. So emptiness is dependent. What is the emptiness dependent on? It's dependent on a mind imputing emptiness. This mind in particular is a type of mind called a valid cognizer. So let's try to understand this through taking an illustration that we are more familiar with. So when we've perhaps misplaced something, and now we're searching for it, and we're looking all over thinking, is my phone or my keys, because it's keys, are my keys in this particular room? And we look everywhere, and we don't find it, we can then say, oh, the keys are not in this room. Or alternatively, we find the keys and say, excellent, here they are, I found the keys. So whether the keys exist in the room or not is dependent on whether there is a mind involved. So that one requires a consciousness, a mind, to be involved with finding the keys, recognizing that these are the keys. If there's no mind recognizing the keys, then one cannot say that they are present, they are in that room. Even if they are not being found by a consciousness, not there. So similarly then, with looking for the self, that when we come, similarly with emptiness, it requires to be found or realized by a valid cognizer for there to be emptiness. If there is no valid cognizer realizing emptiness, there is no emptiness. For us, the fourth line, more extraordinary than this teaching. So this line then is saying that to achieve happiness, as we've been hearing, to achieve the result of a happy state, one needs to develop the causes. To eliminate suffering completely, one needs to eliminate the causes of suffering. And how is this done? It's done through cultivating the mental path of dependent arising. And moreover, it's through training in the presentation on dependent arising that one is able to completely eliminate the ignorance of self-grasping and thereby all the resulting afflicted minds that lead to the accumulation of negative karma and suffering. So therefore, what can be said to be more extraordinary than this teaching? And our third line, what excellent method of instruction. So this then is referring to when the Buddha taught the presentation of dependent arising, and he taught it in an unmistaken way. And he did so in accordance with the individual dispositions and inclinations or personalities of his students. So we would have, in a worldly context, then the correct sequence of how to achieve something may not be presented, or the very best sequence. But the Buddha taught the unmistaken sequence in terms of how to cultivate the wisdom understanding dependent arising, and he did so in accordance with the individual personalities of his students. So therefore, there is no greater method or of instruction, or no more, there is nothing more excellent than this method of instruction.
And then you get
So therefore, the Buddha here is so here we see the reason for referring to the Buddha as a refuge jewel. So we know from the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So this now we should be seeing here why the Buddha or Buddha Shakyamuni is seen as the refuge jewel as a refuge jewel, and that is because it's through taking refuge in this teacher or going to this teacher for protection. So instead of refuge, we can say protection, that we open ourselves to be able to receive. We open ourselves to receive his teachings and thereby cultivate them within our continuum. And through teachings, in particular such as this one on dependence arising, then all our faults, not just coarse faults, but even the subtlest of faults, they can be eliminated. So if you're studying and reflecting and meditating on the teachings of the Buddha, then one can progress to a state where one actually attains liberation from suffering, a liberation from samsara. And if one trains completely in the same way as the Buddha did, then one can actually attain an enlightenment, a state of enlightenment, just like the Buddha himself. So therefore, the Buddha is worthy of being called a refuge, a worthy being to go to for protection.
Sanyu chumne diye tene tuwe tene wane tene yao son xia sen an pe yao re xia sen sanyu chumne diye ya an teo kuya rang chik samtang xia na nandu misi ye towa xira chi na su ya an ya xira minda oko di sanyu chere mu chik sanyu chumne diye tene teo ku xia tene kuya re teo ba tene kuya re chita teo kuya bi jumsen tene samtang kuya re sa chik samtang ni ni ki xia di nao su samro re xia mo to
Missy is washed.
This some sometimes na ngan zulu chua skeli ya kan doa. Ro mi kai zulu doa yuan skeli shi la shi ren doa. Kuo ro yi ji xie wei di ngan zulu sam da bi er chen doa. Jie zang. Jie ren shi ge san yu zhen ni ge jiao hu ju dian zhu su mi wei ni jiao hu ya de. Ye bei dian dian de ya hu song xia shi ne. Ye le ha hua ju yao ma le shi ne. Song ma le shi shi jiao hu ya le shi shi. This some sometimes na ngan zulu ya chua xie la le ya yao ma ngan zulu ya. Che wen ni xie la yao yao ma wa.
Hearing the aspects of this presentation where Ajahn Rinpoche is praising Buddha Shakyamuni for his quality of realization dependence arising and then having taught it. It's hearing about this, what seems like Jaya Rinpoche talking directly or addressing the Buddha directly. So hearing this as a third party, it may not have much of an impact on our mind. Our mind may not move at all, just hearing about that aspect of the presentation.
Jerry 今天刚刚这个事，就是讲牛毛吧，对不对？这些来呀，东西都被写了，公布都。这些东西都被写了，公布了，东西都好的，送下。现在钱人们这个银行就立即能过来，现在三年前面这个银行就来牛毛吧，刚刚写一个，他批，刚刚这个肯定肯定用途在写到我这些，今天的用户大，我这些。那他这刚刚写，咱们肯定公布的，今天咱们就好的，今天公布的是那谁的？
所以，So we may feel a little bit distant from this text in the sense that, well, it's, I'm very happy that Lama Tsongkhapa saw the great benefit in this, and it's, and therefore he's praising the Buddha. No, that's very nice, but what does it mean to me? So that is why the meaning behind this. Why does this mean something to us? And this we need to think about. Because one being is said to be a holy being, praising another being is said to be a holy being, that can seem quite distant from us. So we need to understand how it relates to us, so that we can have some emotional engagement. So through understanding why dependent arising is so important, we then understand why dependent arising is praiseworthy. And if we don't understand, well the importance of dependent arising, then whether it's being praised or not, it doesn't really impact much on our lives. If we understand the importance of dependent arising, that it's through first understanding and then reflecting on dependent arising well, that we will be able to eliminate all the suffering in our continuum. And not only will we be able to eventually eliminate all our suffering and never experience it, but we will be able to help others, have a beneficial impact on others, a beneficial impact of real value. So if we think about why dependent arising is important, and therefore why Jai Rinpoche is praising the Buddha for having taught this, then an interest will arise in us, an interest to hear about the teaching, an interest to reflect on the teaching. So it's for this reason that Jai Rinpoche composed this text and is encouraging us to think about the meaning of dependent arising.
马上就给传达了呀，马上就给传达了呀。俺那中华的那用过吧的，人家谁也差不了呀。人家给俺店里给俺们家送吧，俺们家送了的，人家送吧的，马上就好么好了。就算节日么，去给人家添钱，马上就来。生意给人家送药的，送马上就来，给俺去接的。但马上就给人家们接过来送的。哎，那谁给他？你。 也认为这个电力对比送电了电力，俺那电力给商业居民的这个啊，就用毛线给他们那边电力那边的送用那边送来的，原来是好的。现在电力给俺家所属于干嘛事业，转达的电力给热车，电力的供货热车接吧的，别么子给点钱不嘞？上班呢，俺就给俺家人去的电力接不接的。
那商业局
呢，你送些吧，别嘛是要过来些，那那你来接人去送完拿些，你来他话去，民族生病的商业来啊，他话就接不接，那你用过吧？
对，你讲的这个，啊，这个，啊，OK。
就像俺今年嘛，他们过去，那接人去给，那个，给店先，那么给你送过来的，其他他们没管嘛，商业的送些什么，俺说呀，这个，这些的，这些的，俺就给他过来，他话，就像今年咋的？
上一些银行就转达了呀，哎，嘛是他们银行就刚刚是也，他们也不送下，今天送吧的钱，今天嘛就呀，转去我车去，今天给那些送了的，哎嘛是也无意义，甚至给他们就给呀，哎，这个搞好关系，这个了嘛。Without having, without coming to hear and read about the presentation on dependence arising. This is something that is unknown to us. Without understanding this presentation of dependent arising, this not only is this unknown to us, but it's being unknown to us, its effectiveness is unknown to us. So in other words, not knowing about the presentation of dependent arising, we don't know about this most skillful of methods or techniques for eliminating all our suffering, for eliminating all unwanted situations. But Jerupashe Lama Tsongkhapa, knowing that students do not have an unmistaken understanding of dependent arising, he composed this text in order to bring the unmistaken presentation of dependent arising to our attention. He composed this text in order to make what is currently unknown, to make it known. So thinking about that, then from our side, what we see, the joy and the faith and the devotion that is being expressed by Lama Tsongkhapa to Buddha Shakyamuni, those same emotions can arise within us towards not only Buddha Shakyamuni, but also Lama Tsongkhapa for having composed this text. Because through Lama Tsongkhapa coming to realize his emptiness, independence on the method of dependent arising, and this great joy arising within him, he composed this text expressing faith and devotion and joy to the Buddha. And through not just doing this verbally, but doing it through composing a text, he has passed on this method for freeing ourselves from suffering to all future generations of practitioners. So thinking like that, of our appreciation, our respect for both Lama Tsongkhapa and Buddha Shakyamuni will grow. The stronger joy and faith arise within us. Those have been causes, they will lead to results. And what is the result? We will have more interest in the topics of the Buddha Dharma, in the teachings of the Buddha. We have more interest in the presentation from Lama Tsongkhapa. So, and why is that important? So why is faith seen as so important? Because without having faith or trust or conviction, then one's interest is going to be very limited. And if one completely lacks interest, one is not going to engage in activities such as receiving teachings, let alone reflecting or meditating on them. Conversely, through seeing the importance of these teachings, generating faith, we will have more interest. And more interest leads to greater effort into receiving teachings and to meditating on those teachings. So there's a relationship of dependency here, that the stronger the cause of faith and joy is, then the resulting interest will grow, and therefore the resulting effort and dedication we put into our study and our reflection and meditation will grow. So that's why faith and joy are so important. So it's possible that there's some doubt, because we've heard here that that about, we've spoken, of course, a lot about dependency. We heard about dependence on causes and conditions. So here we are particularly talking about our suffering as a result comes from our afflicted minds. So, but then what happens when, for example, we're in not just a good mood, but we actually have our mind is dominated by virtuous minds, such as love or compassion. And let's say we're walking from the teachings here, and we're in a positive, virtuous mental state, and we're walking to the car, and then we fall over and we hurt ourselves. Then we may think, hang on, my mind, my mental state, was in a virtuous direction. So this, it was a cause, and then I fall over, and I hurt myself, and that clearly is a result. So how can this work? Because my mind was in a virtuous direction, and then I have a suffering result. So that may seem a little strange then.
Walking
to our cars with a happy, virtuous mind, stumble, fall over, and hurt ourselves. So what's the relationship then of cause and effect in this state? Well, if we want to talk about it in a very coarse way, we now have an aching arm. And why is that aching? Well, our arm came into contact rather forcefully with the ground. So we can say that the cause of our pain is the ground or the rock that we fell on. But that's, of course, a rather coarse way to think of it. But the reason that we are now suffering this physical pain is because we have this body. And this body is a result. It came about in dependence on karma that we have accumulated in dependence of our afflicted minds. So it's because of karma accumulated in previous lives that ripened and led to this accumulation, the result of this body, that we are able to experience this suffering now, the suffering that has come from falling over. So therefore, we are suffering now due to negative karma that has been accumulated in a previous life, or due to karma that has been accumulated in a previous life. When we're thinking about karma, we're analyzing and investigating. The point to take here is not just to think about, oh, from this came that. Even if the presentations are often like this, what tends to happen is there are many levels of subtlety that, in terms of the causes and the conditions, that interact or interplay to have a particular result. So in this illustration, we can say that the immediate cause of our pain in our arm is that we fell over, and secondly, that we hit the ground, and maybe there was a sharp stone. So we have those three immediate causes that cause pain. But then there's also the cause that we have this body. This body then is something that we accumulated due to this body is a result of karma that we have accumulated in previous lives. So therefore, we can see that this body that we have now, these physical and mental aggregates, have come about in dependence on previously accumulated karma and afflictions. So therefore, when we're thinking about the causes and conditions of suffering or happiness and so forth, we need to think beyond just, oh, from this comes that, or this result came from that cause, because there tends to be much more, far wider interplay of causes and conditions leading to a result.
因刚才把这个人物呢，就对于库库金牛这个什么大的，那是地表的什么大的，那你属于哪些地理呀？地理上。
So how can we meditate on what we've been looking at here? So just to then summarize what we've covered this weekend is looking at this presentation of dependent arising. We've heard now many times that everything that we experience, everything wanted or unwanted, comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. And this is the situation for each of us individually, for all of us in this room, and for all beings. What we experience comes about, whether it's wanted or unwanted, comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. And as we've just heard a moment ago, when you look at causes and conditions, there is the obvious causes, but when you look just a little more, we'll see many others. And this is what we need to think about. So in brief, all the unwanted experiences we have, come all the various suffering minds, these come about due to causes of the afflictions and negative karma. This is, we've looked at this quite a bit, and this we need to think about in some detail. And then apply our understanding to others. To have this recognition that the situation that I find myself in, the situation that I'm now coming to understand more clearly, is not unique to me, but is shared with others. And in the same way that I want to be freed of the suffering situation, so too do all sentient beings. But for all sentient beings to be freed of suffering, they need to firstly have the information that I'm starting to gather now, and then so as to have the ability to be able to identify what is meant by suffering, what those causes are, and how to eliminate those causes. And without knowing that, they really have no way to eliminate their suffering. So thinking like that, and taking that step further to develop minds of compassion, wanting beings to be freed of suffering, to develop minds of love, wanting beings to experience only happiness, then one generates the wish of, how can I do that? How can I actually be of real benefit to others, bring lasting benefit into the lives of others? And that is only through becoming the most skilled of guides, by becoming a Buddha. So thinking like that, we then generate this commitment to strive for Buddhahood. And now, from what we've been hearing now in previous years, it's clear that to become a Buddha, one has to practice the six perfections, in particular in our context, that of the perfection of wisdom. And that means here we need to eliminate the ignorance of self-grasping, the cause of all our suffering, and the same cause for all the suffering that beings are experiencing individually. How to eliminate this? We need to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. And how to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness? Meditate on dependent arising, as has been said here. So this is the technique that we need to apply for ourselves. It's a technique we need to become skilled in, both intellectually but experientially, both intellectually and experientially, in order not only to improve our situation and weaken our suffering, but to be able to become a skilled guide for others. So when we then engage in the meditation, because I'm just covering it now in brief, you have more detail in the notes. At the start of this talk now, we spoke about how to meditate on dependent arising and emptiness in harmony. And not only how to, but the need to. The importance of not just meditating on emptiness, because there's the danger of falling into one of the extremes, and likewise, the importance of not just meditating on emptiness, because of the likelihood of falling into one of the extreme views. But rather, meditating on one should lead to meditation on the other. And then one can do it in the opposite order. So we spoke about that at the beginning of the class. And that's important for our meditation to be effective. So when you're in your rooms at home and you're reflecting about what we've been covering here, the time that you're sitting on your meditation cushion or on your chair, you will have various minds present. You may be in a good mood, you may be in a bad mood. So start with that. This mind that's now dominant, maybe it's a mind of hunger, maybe I'm a little bit bored, or I'm thinking I'm doing something else, or maybe I'm in an annoyed mood. So recognize that. See how that mind appears to you. And then investigate, does it exist in the way that it appears? You'll see that it doesn't that mind doesn't exist in the way that it appears through following the same process as we've mentioned previously. You'll see then that it's empty of inherent existence, but it's a dependence arising. How so? Then we can think about what causes did it come from. So if I'm feeling if I'm feeling unhappy right now, or my mind's frustrated or annoyed, why? Then we can look at what's going on in our lives, and we'll see the causes, the sequence of events, as well as we can impute what the karma has been accumulated in past lives. So in this way, we can see that our current mental state, whether it's an unhappy mind or whether we're in a good mood, and we're really happy now, we've made time to meditate, and maybe our mind is peaceful. So investigate that happy mind, that joyous mind. See how it appears to one, and then investigate, does it exist in this way? So in this way, we can investigate our minds. How do they appear? Do they exist in the way that they appear? And the sequence is exactly the same as what we've spoken about in terms of looking for the self, or the I, or the person. We need to see how the sense of self appears to us, how a particular mind appears to us. We'll see that it appears to be self-existent, in other words, independent, or not dependent on anything other than itself. And then if that is the case, then investigate. Look for it. See if it can be found. Where is this self-existent mind, or the self-existent self? And coming to see if it's a self that doesn't exist in the body, doesn't exist in the mind, or the accumulation of body parts, or accumulation of minds, we see that it can't be found, come to understand emptiness. But, as we've also heard, this doesn't mean, though, that we come to this understanding of emptiness, that it doesn't mean the self doesn't exist at all, or the mind that we're investigating doesn't exist at all. It can be said to exist, but as a mere imputation. Doesn't exist inherently, but as a mere imputation by mind. So that's what we've looked at this weekend, and how you can incorporate it, so in a very brief way, how you can incorporate it in your daily meditation. So that brings us to the end of this class now. So next time we'll continue the next verse, and this then we'll be starting to look at why is there a need for those who don't have a correct understanding of emptiness, so those who do not have the view of the Prasangika, what is the benefits for them to think about dependence arising? So those who have a mistaken view of emptiness or of reality, why do they, or what is the benefit for them to think about dependence arising? So that will be in a couple of weeks down at the Atisha Center rather than here. But if you've got some questions, then please feel free to ask. Otherwise, if you need to go, please feel free to leave. Okay, then thank you very much. See you in a couple of weeks.